out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 4th of October 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we are broadcasting live today because we have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there, Sven. Hanging in there.
Good man, good man. I think we've got a particularly interesting topic today to discuss. It's something I think it's really on everyone's minds at the moment, because it just seems to pop up everywhere. We've been hearing about it for the last year and a half, I guess. I guess since Donald Trump was elected, we've been hearing about fake news on the one hand, and then on the other hand, we've been hearing about fact checkers, these mysterious people that apparently have the power to tell us what we should be believing and what we shouldn't. And what we'd like to know is just who are these fact checkers and why are they any better than us at working out what's the truth and what isn't? I mean, they seem to be saying that we should just give up working out what's the truth for ourselves and just place our faith in these people that nobody has ever heard of before. And of course, they also seem to have a very strong liberal bias. There don't appear to be any right-wing fact checkers that I've been able to find, and I've been looking through these articles that you sent me today, Matt, and they're really going quite in depth into this subject, and I know that you've been researching it quite a lot recently. So yeah, do you want to start off by telling us your views on these fact checkers and fake news and just what it is that's been getting your goat about it?
Well, you know, our people know that the media is nothing more than an important part of the leftist activist network. That's all major media is. They don't report news. They invent it and shape it to the agenda of those who pay them. They're part of the corporate elite. They lie all the time. They're incompetent. They tell half-truths. They invent stories. They push issues that no one cares about. And over the years, you know, print media is collapsing, and public trust in the media has always been very low, especially recently. It's been extremely low. The worst thing that ever happened to the left was the rise of the internet, because people like me and you could now have a forum to challenge major media and the state and whatever else on a regular basis. And we've changed elections. We've influenced all kinds of things. And the left, which is no different than the ruling class, is extremely upset by this. Now, the New York Times, if you remember, actually apologized or fully admitted, to inventing facts and being laughably partisan during the, Trump campaign. And they covered over crimes. They did, you know, there's nothing they didn't do to support or Clinton. And in saying things like this, public trust in the media collapsed. So what happened is that the big money foundations and a few universities began promoting these institutions called, not even institutions, they're usually one or two man operations, these fact checkers. Now, I've gone through all of these groups. These people are absolute nobodies. Most of them are uneducated. They're usually leftist activists of one type or another. They're not specialists in any particular topic. They're not researchers, and yet they're being cited by major media as the arbiters of truth. One of them is one worked in the health industry for a short time. Most have been given money by Soros. Most try to conceal their identities, or at least one guy does. There's a Snopes, of course. You had a sex and fetish blogger publishing there for a while. And what I noticed, too, is that the Department of Communications. Now, communications is not a serious college degree. It's not an academic subject, no different than marketing or journalism or accounting or fat studies or anything else. These aren't, you know, they're always, they try to sound academic, but they're simply, you know, aspects of leftist activism. Universities and media work together in this respect. And a fact check is just a conniving way to give the press some credibility again. They will never challenge any establishment narrative. They'll never fact check anything that, you know, CNN will say. It exists solely to attack Trump and to buttress the incompetence of major media. And that's what it comes down to. But these people, because they're uneducated, because they're nobodies, they're just average people. If they can fact check, then why can't you? The total lack of critical thinking in these people, that these people are taken seriously at all. They've been caught in lies. They've been caught, like Snopes is now on, you know, in a lot of trouble. It never ends. It's all fraud. And, hopefully more and more people are figuring that out.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? I mean, you've got organizations like Facebook that say that they're going to be using these official fact checkers to see whether something is fake news or not. So they're going to be handing over censorship, basically, to these organizations, which are all funded by leftist billionaires. And their role just seems to be to find anything they can to try and discredit anything that the populists say. I mean, you say they won't actually discredit anything the establishment says. But of course, Donald Trump is the establishment now. And he seems to make up most of what they're trying to discredit. I looked at one of these sites. I think it was Snopes. It may have been fact check, and 60 or 70% of the page is just Donald Trump. So they're just concentrating on things that Donald Trump says and then desperately trying to find some way of contradicting it. And of course, they automatically discredit sites like Fox News, sites like Breitbart. So if something's actually been found by them and it's a news story on Breitbart, say, they will say, well, it is fake news then. If Donald Trump is to quote a news story from Breitbart, they will say, well, that's fake news because it was on Breitbart. So that can't be used. That's obviously a false fact. That hasn't been validated. It's like when Donald Trump retweeted the Britain First tweets a while back. Everybody could see what was going on in the video. They could see that it was Muslims attacking white people. Yeah, but the mainstream narrative was, oh, well, that's fake news because it hasn't been validated. We don't know where the video came from. Well, we can see with our own eyes what's going on in that video. And that is something that people need to see. They need to see what Muslims are doing in our countries. So this is the worrying thing, is this is just being handed over to people and we don't know anything about them. And fools are basically going along with it. But I don't think that many people really are going to go along with it, Matt. Because, you know, what it seems to me like, as you say, people have lost faith in the mainstream media. So the mainstream media, in its desperation, is trying to say, no, honestly, we are telling the truth. Look, these people say we're telling the truth. And they've got an official name of fact checker that we've given them. And I don't think it's really going to fool that many people, to be honest.
You know, I hear them cited all the time. I hear political novices quote them all the time. And it disappoints me that they can't even ask the simple questions. As, you know, I thought this was a job of journalists. I thought this was a job of, you know, why would you need an institution above them? None of the people who run these sites have any expertise in anything. You know, they're employees. Now, Facebook hired the International Fact Checking Network. I mean, it's like two people, a Greek guy and someone else. It's financed by the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, which is a George Soros creation, as well as Bill Gates and the founder of eBay, Pierre Omdiar. And that's who they hired. Now, you know, we live in a society that private capital controls totally. The state is a secondary actor. We're used to thinking of censorship as something only the state can do. But censorship is actually when the powerful silence people who they find inconvenient. So there's no question that this is a way to get around the First Amendment. You know, it's complicated, but they have to figure out that we can't just outright ban them using state power, but we can do almost the next best thing by claiming all of these independent institutions. Mysterious, ghostly people have decided that these websites aren't worth listening to. And Facebook has hired the International Fact-Checking Network, and we're all seeing this on our news feeds. This is determined to be fake news, etc. You know, these tech giants, you know, control discourse. You know, this is where all this stuff is going down. They have far more power than any state ever did. So, of course, it's censorship. Of course, it's proving that we live in a one-party state.
It's the left reinforcing the left, isn't it? That's what it is. It's the left reinforcing the left's narrative. And it just seems similar to me as well. What you're saying there, what's happening is the censorship is being franchised out to the internet companies like Facebook, like Twitter, and they can appeal to these official fact checkers and say, well, it wasn't us, it was these fact checkers. And it seems similar to me the way that countries like Germany have also sort of franchised out the legal system that decides whether something is a hate crime or not. They franchise that out to Facebook as well. They've said, if we find any hate speech on your site, we're going to fine you massive amounts of money, which of course has meant that people like politicians in the Alternative for Deutschland party, they've had their posts on Facebook. They've had them removed because Facebook have said, well, we can't risk this. We can't risk losing all this money and being fined. So we're going to have to err on the caution side, and we're going to have to get rid of, you know, even posts by politicians and posts which are relatively tame by other people's standards. And they've done this because they know that the government wouldn't be able to get away with it. The government wouldn't be able to say, or Merkel wouldn't be able to say, you have to take down that post by Frauke Petri or whatever her name is from Alternative for Deutschland. But it's okay if Facebook do it because it's this private company that's doing it. It's a very devious way of silencing people, isn't it?
And that's really the point. You know, at the time of the drafting of the Bill of Rights, these people had no conception of what this international media conglomerate would ever be. They had no idea that in debate it would be channeled through just a handful of tech companies, you know. What gets me angry about these people is that those who are in charge of fact checking are just, you know, like, media bias fact check is another big one. The guy who runs that is Dave Van Zandt from North Carolina. Of course, like all of them, they have a communications degree. Now, I think that's very suspicious. They all come from the same department. And I'm seeing that communications departments in different universities are being marshaled into this same movement. Communications isn't a real, you know, has no theoretical background that you couldn't get from psychology or economics. And I think some of these social sciences, like anthropology or sociology, are kind of invented in the 20th century to challenge, you know, classical history and philosophy. And it could come from the New School of Social Research and come from the Frankfurt School and come from the Rockefeller Foundation. So it looks like communications, which, you know, I've been a professor for a long time, and communication students are usually idiots, you know, or they don't care, or they don't know what they want to be. It is heavily non-white. Most of the professors that I've known over the years in communications have been non-white. It's a place where, you know, the low IQ can go to sound academic. And I think it's suspicious that they're all coming from this department, but the guy fully admits that he has no particular expertise in anything, but, he's been reading a lot recently, and therefore he has the right to decide what's real and what isn't. So it isn't so much that these guys have any authority. It's that the media gives them authority. The same media, by the way, that allegedly would be challenged by these people. Ultimately, of course, as you said, it's not about fact checking. It's about challenging Donald Trump and people like me and you. It's really the bottoming out of critical thinking. The fact that people can't say to themselves, wait a minute, who are these people to tell me what's fake and what isn't? And of course, most of the time, it's not even facts. It's simply opinion. It's all partisan nonsense. And yet, you know, I have plenty of friends and friends over the last few years, most of whom I've lost, who cite these people as, oh, well, you know, Snopes said it, so in no way it could be true. And they make jokes about it. And so, I mean, they are taken seriously just out of some fetishization of authority.
It's like, do you remember that study a while back where they worked out that if you put somebody in a lab technician's coat, people will obey what they're told. They will do whatever the guy in the lab technician's coat tells them to because they think...
Like the Millward study, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy with authority. It's the same thing, isn't it? You know, they're saying to these people, well, these are the official fact checkers. They said that what Donald Trump said isn't true, so don't believe him. And people believe it because it says, you know, these are the official fact checkers. Not as many, as I was saying earlier. I don't think as many people are falling for it as they would like, but certainly people are. Well, let's have a look at some of what these companies have to say for themselves. This is Fact Check. Ask for information concerning his expertise in the field of journalism and evaluating news sources. Van Zandt, that's the guy behind Fact Check, said, I am not a journalist, just a person who is interested in how media bias impacts politics, and you will find zero claims of expertise on the website. So, you know, if people do investigate this a little bit, they will find that even though these fact checkers are being touted as they are the experts, when they're actually asked about it, they say that actually we're not making any claims of expertise, and we're not requiring any qualifications for people to join the website. It just seems to be his friends are involved in this. Is this the same website that has the porno woman on it? That's one of their main fact checkers, Matt. Do you know?
No, I think that's Snopes. That was his first wife. And of course Snopes is in this legal battle coming from his divorce. Her name was Kim LaCapria. Vice Vixen was her name, and she blogged online. She offered tips on using sex toys. And she's one of the founders of, in fact, she's the principal fact checker of Snopes right now. This is the person that the media says, you know, will tell you what's true and false when Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin says something. Not actually experts in the field, not actually, you know, scholars, not active, you know, not real journalists. Vice Vixen will tell you. If this doesn't tell you that discourse and debate has totally bottomed out and that the news media is nothing more than part of the entertainment industry, then nothing's going to change your mind. I'm really hoping that you're right about this, that most people are going to, you know, just laugh at their arrogance. But it's almost like they're going out of their way to hire people. And of course, they have employees, and these employees are all anonymous. And the funniest thing was, you know, Snopes, they're so ignorant that they actually, you know, the Babylon Bee is kind of like the Onion, news site, satire news site. Snopes has an entire archive section where they're challenging their facts. They didn't realize that the Babylon Bee is satire. So, I mean, that's really how bad they are. And they, you know, they're given authority because the press says it, because the Washington Post and New York Times quotes them all the time. That's the only reason anyone cares about these people. These companies have been around for a while. It's just only when Trump was elected, suddenly they get authority like never before. And the only thing that makes any sense is that because of the total lack of trust in the press, and the dominance of right-wing websites online, you know, as far as opinion sites, this is how they're fighting back. You know, they can't shut us down. I mean, I just discovered, I couldn't believe this, Sven. One of my favorite sites, Return of Kings. I really love that site. There's nothing racial on there, nothing Jewish on there, nothing like that. They just challenge feminism and how women behave. They lost their PayPal account. You can't donate to them anymore using PayPal. That's how little to the right you have to be challenged by these establishment institutions. They're pulling credit cards and all of this. Yeah, this is how they're trying to shut the right down. It isn't the state. It's entities that are far more powerful than the state. You know, banks and credit cards and tech companies like, you know, the big, you know, Google and Facebook. We all know how Google has altered their search results. I don't use Google anymore. If you do a search with web crawler, versus Google. It's two totally different results if it's political, two totally different sets of results. And so to cover this over, they're trying to give this fakery an air of authority. And so they hire these idiots as fact checkers and treat them like they're oracles.
A circular reasoning, isn't it? You know, because the New York Times have cited this group, that means that the group are authentic. And the group themselves say, well, look, we're authentic because the New York Times uses us. So it's circular reasoning. And it's just censorship, basically, that's going on here. I heard about that Return of Kings and then getting their PayPal taken off them. But what that does do, really, it helps to herd all of us together. You know, all the people on the right who have had their PayPal shut down. You know, when something like that happens and you've got something that happens to Return of Kings who aren't racial, I believe it's an Iranian guy that runs it, it basically puts him in the same camp as the rest of us. So it enlarges our camp. You know, it seems to me, you know, the right is every day the right gets more split off from the left and the right gains momentum and the right gains more people. And when they do things like that, it helps to unite the right together. It's like when Tommy Robinson was put in prison. Up until that point, you know, most people in Britain were, or most nationalists were like, oh, he's a Zionist shill. And, you know, people didn't think very highly of him. But once he was put in prison, you know, he suddenly joined the same ranks of people such as Jez Turner, Simon Shepherd, Joshua Bonehill, all these other people that have been put in prison for criticizing Jews. And now Tommy Robinson has been put in prison for criticizing Muslims. But what it did, it brought the people that criticize Jews together with the people that criticize Muslims. So there's a big movement in Britain now because of this. So it does backfire when they try to do this because it helps us to unite together all the people that are being persecuted in this way. Shall we have a look at some more of these stories that we've got here, some of what this fact checker have been up to? They basically circulated a viral list of so-called fake news websites in November 2016, and the list included established sites such as WND, Breitbart, Red State, The Daily Wire, and Project Veritas. But it actually turned out that the person who it was that actually sent out that list was a Trump-bashing assistant professor in Massachusetts who specialized in fat studies. And they were behind this. This woman was actually behind this. And it did have a bad effect at the time. And this is why I'm saying that anything that appears in those websites, Fact Check and Snopes are going to say, well, that's fake news, even though these are websites with their own journalists that go out digging stories up. Donald Trump in particular will reference something that he's read in Breitbart. So you've got the president of America that is referencing something in Breitbart, and these companies will say, oh, well, no, that's fake news because of the source that it actually comes from, because it doesn't come from a left-wing source. But I do see this as actually helping our cause, Matt, you know, because it is pushing more people towards us. It has to. You know, the more they widen the net and go after, you know, people that are only just slightly to the right of Karl Marx, the more likely it is that those people are going to, you know, take the hint and move even further to the right, I think.
Well, it's like, terms like racism and anti-Semitism, they're used so often, or fascism for that matter, they're thrown around so much, there's no definition. People who are listed as anti-Semites on the ADL's website are all over the place politically. Well, once you've been outed that way, well, you have no reason to censor yourself any further. You know, once you cross that Rubicon, anyone, you know, racism is just anything that might possibly impact non-whites in a negative way, which of course is not how what the term really means, but that's how it's used. This is kind of an emotional punch in the face. This woman who did this, she has, you know, again, no abilities. Again, communications is not an academic subject. She maintained secrecy about herself, though. She demands that everybody else be open, but her own social media accounts, Zimdar is her last name, Melissa Zimdar's, are all, you know, highly protected. And yeah, the Los Angeles Times is citing her as an authority without explaining why we should listen, why anyone should care. And where's her money coming from? You know, most of these are big block grants from the old money foundations as well as Soros. And you know, as far as she's concerned, she's just one person. And that's circulating even now, as far as I know. And this is simply how they're trying to shut people up. But I want you to be right. I really want you to be right. This helps her cause in the sense that, you know, once you have that label attached to you, you have no reason to be socially acceptable anymore after that. You know, back when we did the Barnes Review, we had a conference where Paul Weyrich came and from the Free Congress Foundation, gave a speech on, I don't even remember what it was, but I invited him. I got him there. And, the first thing he said is that, well, we disagree with the Holocaust revisionism that's promoted here, but that's not our point. The next day in the Washington Post, all they said was Paul Weyrich shows up to anti-Semitic conference, the Barnes Review, you know, and then smeared him for the rest of the article. So it didn't work. And after that, you know, he said, well, I guess there's nothing, you know, I have no reason to be self-censoring anymore. So there, you know, this is exactly how it is. It's sort of like the sanctions on countries like South Africa or Russia actually assist them. They have to become more self-reliant, and we have to realize that we have to help one another financially and emotionally and every other way, because if we don't help one another, we're dead. And for me, it all got started with the murder of Edgar Steele in an Idaho prison on a make-believe charge. That was my first – I think that's what got it started. And these people realized, well, no one's going to come to his defense, at least not in public, so we could do whatever we want. And they just killed him. And it's been going on ever since Charlottesville, since Trump election. It's been getting more and more intense. And this is just a part of that. So it's polarizing everybody and, you know, kicking, you know, InfoWars off Facebook and everything else. You know, I mean, he's a moderate guy, politically speaking. I mean, he's no national socialist. But it throws all of them into our camp. I think you're right about that.
Well, yeah, that's just it, isn't it? I mean, he could say, well, he was a conspiracy crowd, but now he's certainly in our camp because he's been deplatformed. So he's just as much on our side as, you know, people that have been locked up, really, and everybody else that's been deplatformed. I mean, the deplatforming all really started with Andrew Anglin and Daily Stormer. So you could say that all the other people that have been deplatformed since then are now in the Daily Stormer camp. So they might as well stop being, you know, being against us, really, and realize that, you know, we're all fighting the same enemy. Well, let's have a look at where some of the money is coming from for these organizations. The IFCN, that's the International Fact-Checking Network that Facebook are going to be using. They're hosted by the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, and they are funded in part by Google. And foundations of leftist billionaires George Soros and Bill Gates. Soros donated $25 million to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and the Daily Mail reported that Clinton's super donor and eBay founder Pierre Omidyar is also backing the project. So what you've got there, you got all these companies, Facebook, Bill Gates, George Soros, the eBay founder, and they're all the ones that are funding this fact-checking network. So it's just going to be reflecting their views, isn't it? That's where all the money is coming from. And that's the organization that Facebook is using. We've also got PolitiFact here. PolitiFact's largest contributor is Clinton donor Alberto Ibarguen, president and CEO of the Knight Foundation. Ibarguen contributed $200,000 to the 8th annual Clinton Global Initiative University meeting in February 2015. Any examination of a fact-checking website would not be complete without a look at the organization's primary source of funding. Factcheck.org receives the largest amount of its funding from the Annenberg Foundation, which funds a number of non-profits. The foundation funded the Chicago Annenberg Challenge to the tune of $49.2 million. In 1995, Barack Obama was a founding member of the Chicago Annenberg Challenge, and he remained on the board until 2001, when the challenge was phased out. Well, they sound really unbiased. don't they, Matt? They're definitely going to be not falling on the right or the left, aren't they? These are all ultra-lefties. They're all funded by ultra-left organisations, basically for the benefit of ultra-left organisations. We really do need more right-wing startups, I think, right-wing startups like Gab on the internet, because, you know, what you're looking at there, you're looking at them all teaming up together. Google, YouTube, eBay, Bill Gates, Windows, tied up with George Soros, and they're all teaming up. And we saw this when Alex Jones was kicked off every platform all at the same time. Even Apple, who is supposedly, you know, supposed to be in competition with Bill Gates. And yet they're obviously all working together to try and shut down any dissent. It's like Internet Archives that got rid of all the radio airing bootlegs. I mean, what they're trying to do is pretend there wasn't any dissent for future researchers. So when future researchers go back and look in the Internet Archive for what was being talked about in 2018, they won't find any nationalist stuff. So they'll think, well, there wasn't any dissent. Everybody just went along with it. You know, it's very sinister, all of this.
Yes, and the massive purge is going to separate the men from the boys. Those who stick with us and continue in the fight are, you know, those strong enough to handle this kind of heat. The left, these people have never heard the word no before, especially the female. They're spoiled rotten, but our people are rock hard because we're being treated like this. We don't need a whole lot of people like this. So this kind of persecution makes sure that those who remain with us are solid. I think that's important too.
Well, it just doesn't stand up to scrutiny, does it? I mean, quite clearly, you know, what the establishment media is putting out just doesn't stand up to scrutiny, because they can't stand to have, you know, me or you scrutinize it. They want to have their own people scrutinizing it. They want people to be looking up to an external authority to tell them what to believe. And this goes in with the programming that kids are taught at school now. They're not taught how to, you know, how to study something for themselves and work out whether it's true or not. They're expected to just believe what the teacher tells them. But just believe about the Holocaust. Don't investigate it for yourself. But thankfully, more and more people are investigating it. And I do think this isn't going to have the effect that they want it to. I think it is going to drive more people into our camp. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.